I'd like for you to turn, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, as I begin reading in verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. And then you don't have to turn to this, but I'll be reading a couple of verses in 1 Peter. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Well, I'm glad it won't the church's words.
Right.
Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You'll notice it's plural, wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Before I read in 1 Peter, let me just tell you that I do know that this is the interpretation of this, and I must say this, is talking about the nation of Israel. I know that. But thank God for the application and the individuality. That although he's doing a nation like this, he's doing individuals like this. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And that word season means just for a little while. And no matter how long the trial may be you're in or what you're going through, compared to eternity is just for a little while. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that word temptations means the test of character and the trials and the testings and the solicitation to do evil and all that's involved in it. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the being may be, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom and have not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. That is the completion, the final draw of it all. Our Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege we've had once again to stand in this great pulpit, for this great church that you've given to this great man of God. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity to open thy word and to deliver that which you put upon our heart. I realize I am absolutely nothing without you. I pray for the unctionizing of the blessed Holy Ghost, that you would fire us up, that you would use us to be an encouragement and a help to these people that you have brought together at this place tonight. We know this is no accident. It's divine providence. And we thank you, Lord, for the saints of God. May they rejoice as we try to encourage them tonight in the dear Lamb of God. For that one that may be lost and undone without you, would you please do a work in that heart? Would you trouble thy spirit? Arrest them, convict them, draw them, and save them before it's everlasting too late. Thank you again now for this privilege in Jesus' bloodstained name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. As we look into the book of Jeremiah, we find that Jeremiah has a word from God. And as we look tonight at this particular portion of Scripture, I have one thing that I want to deal with, but as usual, being a Baptist preacher, it's going to take me a little while with things before I get to the thing. And as we look to this tonight, I hope that you will take what's said and use this for God's honor and for God's glory. When we read about the potter and the clay, there's a presupposition here. When I say that, I'm saying that this is just understood. When Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house, the clay is already on the wheels. Something has taken place. So that Jeremiah can see the potter doing a great work with potter on his wheels. And as we see this presupposition here, there is a process that's undeniable. He goes to the potter's house not to see just what the potter's doing, but God says, put your eye on the wheels. In other words, put your eye on my divine providence. Put your eye on the work that I am doing, not what the potter is doing. And so here is the process that's undeniable. There is a creating process. There is a changing process. And there is a conforming process that's being done in this place. And then there is a purpose that is unveiled here. That is the purpose of the works of God that are beginning to show fashion and become beautiful works of the potter's hand. You may not think so tonight. My wife is probably the only one that does think so other than my God, but I am a beautiful creature in His hands. You go home and look in the mirror and you'll say amen, because thank God you are beautiful in His hands too. And then the works of God are not only unveiled, showing us the beautiful creature that God is making of the vessel, but the works of God are beneficial and they are believable. No wonder that the songwriter says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and steal. I said that there was a presupposition here in this passage of Scripture. And by saying that, let me briefly bring you up to where I want to look at tonight. I really want to look at my subject tonight, when the heat is on. But before it gets to a heating process and a firing process, there's something has to take place. This potter shows here that he goes out and he finds the clay. This reveals to us the desire upon his heart. I don't understand this, but I'm glad, thank God, he desired me. And here we have the potter's heart revealed. Before the foundation of this world, we were upon his heart. Then there is the freeing of the clay. It is one thing to find the clay. It is quite another to free the clay. We can talk all day long about we have been found, but thank God I like the part where it says we have been free. And so there's the finding of the clay. There's the freeing of the clay. And then he also sees the fixing of the clay. When he goes down to the potter's house, the potter is doing a work on the wheels. So therefore, it's in a fixed position. It is in the middle of the wheel, not on the outside going round and round and round, but right in the middle, and it's turned at the face of the potter in his own good will and his own good time. So you see the progression here. There is the finding of the clay, the freeing of the clay, and the fixing of the clay, where his heart is revealed, his heft is revealed, and then the fixing of the clay is done, don't miss this, at the potter's house. This is a type of the local church. If God's going to fix you, it'll be in His church. Not at the lodge, not at the community place, not at the fishing hole, but thank God in the church of the living God. Then not only is there the finding and the freeing and the fixing, but there's the forming of the potter's work. He fixes that clay in a fixed position so that he can form it at his will. You see, the finding of the clay involves his heart, showing us his desire. The freeing of the clay involves the potter's help, showing us his deliverance. The fixing of the clay shows us the potter's house, revealing his destination. For every lump of clay which we are, God has a house to put the lump in. Well, I can serve God at home. No argument from this preacher. I can worship God at home. No argument from this preacher. I can praise God at home. You will get no argument from this preacher. But when these doors are open, you better take what's at home and transfer it to the local house of God. You cannot be right with God. You will be and are disobedient if you forsake the assembling of yourselves in the house of God. Tapes don't get it. CDs don't get it. Videos don't get it. You cannot improve on what we've experienced in this place tonight. There's something about being in the house of God. With God's saints, with God's people, where we hear the burdens being brought before the darling Lamb of God, and where, thank God, we can share that one with another, where God has delivered us from and brought us from. Then the forming of the clay, still here, is the potter's hand. That's his designing work. He's a working on us. He's designing us. Now, after he gets it all fixed up, after he delivers it by desiring it, bring it to its destination, he begins to design it. And that brings me to what I want to get to tonight. We come to a vital stage concerning the vessel itself, where we see the potter's fire, where we have the potter's heat firing the clay. Let me use this word, his determination. God is determined to put his vessels in the fire. If you are saved tonight, get ready, mark it down, you are going in the fire. If you are a vessel of God, you are going to be fired. And I'm not talking about losing your job. I'm talking about you going in the fire. When the heat is on, you need to know some things. And when God puts you in His keel, you need to understand He's the potter, you are the clay. Isaiah 64, Romans 9, Jeremiah 18. That deals with nations, country, and individuals. I am glad tonight, thank God, that He knows what the individual needs in their everyday walk with Him. So we have here, we see that He is firing the clay, His determination to test the material, as Peter says, to try you. To put you into the fire, when the heat is put on, the clay is not totally finished after the forming. Oh, left to itself after it was formed, it would be no good. It wouldn't do good for the potter. It wouldn't do any good for the vessel itself. It cannot be left alone. The most important process of it all after it is formed is to be fired. Don't get ahead of me. I see some of you already going up. That's what Peter's talking about. Think it not strange. Well, it's no strange thing. This is not something we can't figure out or something we wonder why. I mean, God tried the righteous. This is no strange thing that we hear people stand up and says, pray for me, pastor. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, brother. Pray for me, sister. I'm in the fire. The average testimony meeting is a complaining meeting. Last time I checked, being a testimony was thanking God for where He delivered you from. Being a testimony was thanking God He's in control. Being a testimony was, I don't know why, but I know who. But our Baptist churches have got to the place that instead of a testimony meeting, it's a complaining meeting. You don't complain about what the potter does to his vessel. The potter tells the vessel what to do. The vessel doesn't tell the potter what to do. He must know how to operate the furnace. I am no potter. I am a preacher. Some would question that, but nevertheless, God has called me to preach. If I had to go down to the riverbank, remove the debris, pick up that filthy clay, bring it back to the potter's wheel, I wouldn't know how to operate with it. You've got to know what you're doing to form that vessel. When I'd stick my thumb in the middle of it and go down to the bottom, that's exactly where it would go, through the bottom. I've got some Baptists I'd like to stick my thumb through. I've got some I'd love to just pull up real slowly and get all the debris out of it. But I'm no potter. I'd tie them up. I'd break them. I'd crush them. I'd destroy them. But thank God the potter knows how much to put and when to do. Let me say, the Christian life is not one big happy life. I'm happy sometimes. The older I get, the less I'm happy. I'm getting ornery. I have a happy time in the Lord sometimes. I rejoice in the Lord and thank God for the peace of God. But God didn't call me to be happy. That's just one of the extra benefits that come around with it. He called us to be holy. Christian life is a life of trials. It's a life of tests. It's a life of battles. I guarantee you tonight, if I'd ask for a show of hands, 3/4 of this congregation would say, "Preacher, I'm in the valley. Preacher, I'm in the furnace. Preacher, I'm in the fire. Preacher, I've got something that's really bothering me. Preacher, I'm really going through something right now." Could I say to you, hold on. Help's on the way. You don't have to hold on to Him. If you did that, bless God, we'd all be hurting. But I'm going to tell you, hold on to the truth and to the principles that God's too good to do wrong and too wise to make a mistake. Now, three areas of this firing process that deserves our attention for every Christian life. You are either going in, you are in, or you're coming out of a trial. Now don't get me wrong. Thank God there's some gaps in between going in and being in and coming out before you go in. Thank God for the gaps. That's the only gap theory I believe, by the way. First of all, tonight, the vessels going into the fire. Now remember the presupposition here. It's been found. It's been freed. It's been fixed. It's been formed. And now it's fixing to be fired. There's four secrets that you need to be well aware of going into the fire. Now let me say, you will not learn these overnight. Let me say that you will fail time and time again. What's going to happen the next time we have a big test comes our way? Probably fail it. What's going to happen the next time that we really get into the fire? Probably complain. Probably going to question God and probably going to ask God, where are you and why are you doing this? And there's a lot of things that we'll say. There's four secrets. First of all, the vessel going into the fire. The first secret that I've learned is He's planned this and prepares the firing. This potter knows what he's doing. You see, this vessel that he has in the fire has been planned all along. From the time he got up from his wheel and from his place and come to another environment, to another world, and picked it up, and polished it up, positioned it up at his good pleasure. That's been his plan all along. He didn't get the clay just to bring back to the house to fill a hole up with. So when you're going into the fire, or you see yourself going into the fire, remember the first secret is he's planned this or prepared this fire all along. He's cleaned out the furnace. He's getting it ready to put his vessel in. He's planned this along the way. And the second secret is, not only has he planned this all along, but he places the vessel into the keel. I was in my study, got to thinking about that. Aren't you glad that he places the vessel instead of pitches the vessel? To hear some preach or hear some talk or to hear some complain, you would think that the potter just picked them up and threw them into the fire, not knowing where he was going to put them, not having an eye open at what was going to take place. But thank God the secret is he's planned it all along and he places his vessel in the fire. To be placed means on purpose. He had a place that only that vessel could fit. Dawned on me many years ago as a young preacher. I'd hear a preacher and I'd try to be just like him. I'd hear one that was deep in the Word and I'd try to go deep in the Word. I'd hear one that shout every time he'd open his mouth and I'd try to shout every time he opened my mouth. I'd hear one that go, ha, 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 ha. Man, thought it was on hee-haw. Then it dawned on me, it ain't but one me. I'm not trying to be like anybody. I'm not trying to copy anybody. I'm just going to be me. And guess what? It works. And so God didn't place me into the fire to be like somebody else. He designed me and He put me into the fire to be like He wanted me to be. Now don't get me wrong, we all have our heroes. We all have our favorites. We all have men that we love to hear. We all have men that we'd like to imitate. There's nothing wrong with doing that as long as God gets the glory and you pick up the good traits. My problem is when people imitate me, the few that do, they get my bad traits. But first, secret number one, I'm going into the fire now. We're going to get there in just a minute when the heat's on. Fire hadn't been turned on yet. The potter's going into the keel. He's placing them in there. And he's doing it one by one as he sees fit. And he's planned this all along. But here's the blessed part. Thank God he puts other vessels in the fire with me. He would never fire that keel up just for one vessel. Don't think that you're a privileged character. He's got little vessels, tall vessels, big vessels, fat vessels, skinny vessels, ugly vessels. To some, there's some pottery I look at, I would, unto God, they'd have to pay me to take it home and then I'd try to break it before I got there. But to some, it's a beautiful piece of work. I'm glad that when God looks at all His vessels, there's no ugly vessel. And He places them. Other vessels in the keel. When you get so low that you can't go on and you think you're the only one going through things, you just, now I'm preaching from experience. You just look around. Call another brother. Call another sister. You get to talking and boy, they begin to give you their problems. I used to complain about having no shoes until I met a man that had no feet. God's going to put you, if you're not already in, the fire. If you are saved, you get ready. You're going into the fire. But praise be unto God, you're not by yourself. Boy, it's good to hug someone and tell them and cry with them on their shoulder. And they cry on your shoulder. And you say, I know what you're going through, brother. Thank God, God will deliver you again. God will see you through it. God will help you. God will bring you home. But preacher, you don't understand. No, I don't. But He does. And then, just pardon me. But this is just tickles my innards. Going into the trial, this helps me when I'm in the trial to know this. He not only planned it, prepared it, and places us in there with other vessels and puts other vessels in there with us, but He places it intentionally where He wants it. That keel has a little peephole. That when the fire's turned up, thank God. You may not know where He's at, but He's a peeping. But God, you don't understand. Unto God, preacher, pray for me. Man, I'm going through the fire. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Nobody knows where I'm at. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody's experienced this. Oh God, how am I going to get through this? Peepa. Ready or not? Here I come. I'm telling you, He's looking. He's peeping. He's the one that designed it. Remember this. He's the one that fires the kill. He's the one that knows what you can go through. He's the one that knows what you can take. He's peeping at you. When you're in that valley, when you're going through these things, remember tomorrow on your job. Remember where you're at. When you can't find Him, He's peeping at you. Praise God. Wait till I get back home. Said they was in the balcony. He knows. I don't have time to get into this, but jot you a little illustration down at Matthew chapter 14. Jesus come walking on that water at the fourth watch of the night. They didn't give up all hope, everything they had. But praise God, He was a peeping. Secondly, when the heat's on, you're going into the fire. Remember this, there's four secrets. Secondly, the gaining from our trials when we're in the fire. What's going on in the furnace? Well, there's four stages. Four stages of firing it. First of all, the vessel is sent through a firing called elimination. The heat in the furnace is about 400 degrees at this time. And I must say this, but for the sake of time, I won't get all into it. I just remind you of this, that when He was forming that clay, He had another vessel sitting beside His wheel that He would reach into after the drying process had taken place and the dividing process had taken place and all these infirmities had come out of it. These things were lumped it up and all, and He started to form in that. He would get His clay wet by using pure water after He dried the river water out. He'd been dried one environment out and put another environment in. And he picked that out of another vessel. And he waters that clay. And he moistens that clay. Some of it is all God. It's called the elimination process. He's eliminating the mechanical water, the excess water on the outside of the vessel. I wonder how much of the Word of God to us is just excess. One of the greatest verses in the Word of God, on one of the greatest subjects in the Word of God, is found in one of the most familiar texts in the Word of God. And I guarantee you, I could have told you to turn tonight, probably not here, but some other places I went to, I could have told to turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. Bibles would not have even opened. Why? It's come too familiar. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Check that out. Right in the middle of that verse, His Son. He's the key to it all. Everything hangs, that's the balancing word. Everything hangs on Him. And there's an elimination process. Could I use this term? It's called stripping. When the vessel's in the fire, the first thing that it does at that 400 degree stuff is that it begins to strip some things that should not be there. Second stage. That'd be hard enough. But when the heat is on, there's a second stage. The firing of dehydration. Dehydration. During this process, the vessel is heated up to between 1200 and 1400 degrees. The vessel then turns a dull red color. It's known as dehydration. That has set in, and he turns the furnace off while it's cooling down. And as it begins to cool down, you know what these things do when it begins to cool. After it's stripped, it begins to shrink. I don't like it. You don't like it either. That's some hot heat. And when we are shrinked, that means that we have to humble ourselves. He must increase. I must decrease. How does that happen? Stripping. Shrinking. He puts the heat on. That'd be bad enough. But oh, after it cools down, there's another stage called oxidation that goes from, 1400 to 1600 degrees. Elimination, 400 degrees. Dehydration, 1000 to 1200 degrees. Oxidation, 1400 to 1600 degrees. This process, the keel is heated up to that heat. After a while, the vessel becomes a flaming bright red. Dear God, not so high and mighty now. Things that we used to nitpick about no longer mean anything. That which used to be a great big old mountain that don't mean anything, now it's not even a molehill. See, when this process takes place, the carbon and the sulfur and the iron and all the other minerals in the clay run together. It takes this high temperature and this extreme heat to produce a mixing of the oxygen and the minerals found in this clay. The oxygen is the wind of the breathing process. And that oxygen cannot mix with that metal until it goes through, oh dear God, until it goes through that stirring process. You see, that stirs up the minerals and stirs up the things. And God put you into the fire and turned the heats on so He can stir you up. And the Holy Ghost means something to you then. He's not just a word. Thank God He's a person. Thank God He'll comfort you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll keep you. He'll help you. Thank God He'll pick you up and baby you along. But He'll also whip the tie out of you if you need it. He's working. That's when He does His best work. Not that He has any sorry work. But that's when He does His best work in me. It's when I get to the place, who cares a flip what others say? Who cares a flip about so-and-so or this one over here? I used to have, oh God. I still got a few. I'm not perfect. There's a few I'd still like to just whip the devil out of. But people that I've helped the most. Yes, sir. Have you noticed that the preacher has changed lately? Have you noticed that? Seems like he's just getting a little harder than he used to be. So you're getting ready to ride. Just hang on, I'll come back to that thought in a little bit. But when that man of God gets a phone call at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you haven't even turned over for your second nap yet. He's up praying, walking the floor, searching his heart, trying to get some food for the hungry sheep, trying to help him do what's pleasing unto God. When he thinks he's unappreciative, when he thinks nobody cares and all that stuff, I want you to know, preacher, he's a peeping. I want you to know, thank God, when you're in the fire, that's when the Holy Ghost is working. You say, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand. Man, I can't win for losing. I get 2 or 3 new families into the church and unto God, 5 will leave. I had one time said, y'all don't worship like they do down the street. No, I don't have a screen. I got the book. No, I don't have somebody looking like Hattie Doody. Bless God, I've got the Word of God that I can preach to people that come in a starving world that needs the Word of God to help them. Thank God, that's what I got. What have you got, preacher, for the youth? Same thing I have for the adults. What kind of youth program you got? Same program I got for the adults. Thank God the Word of God will get the job done. If the Word of God don't get it done, it ain't worth doing anyway. Heat's on. You don't back up when the heat's on, praise God. You let it mix together. Staring. Well, that's 3 stages. Stripping, elimination. Drinking, dehydration. Stripping, staring, oxidation. And this other one, I got from a Potter book, so just bear with me. This is not a preachly term. I'm going to attempt to pronounce it. Vitrification. Or vitrification. I looked it up on the dictionary, my little sound thing, and it says, the meaning of it is to vitrify. I figured that must have something good. It's a 4th stage of this firing. There's got to be something here. Well, here's what the dictionary says. A fusing or an untying. To convert. To become brittle, hard, and glossy. This is the stage that all the practical stuff mixes together. This vessel is now, thank God, stronger than it's ever been. When the heat is on, it's not just to strip you or to shrink you or to stir you. It is to strengthen you. Let the trial of your faith be more precious than gold. I've heard people say, we need to get back to our first love. I agree. And they use it wrong. They say, go back to the day that God saved you. That's your first love. No, it's not. I can prove it. I didn't know God could do what He's done for me over the last 37 years. The day that God saved me. He was precious to me as far as preciousness could be, as far as a young Christian could see, as far as could look. I mean, unto God, that sounded pretty good to me. But He's more precious to me now than He's ever been in my entire life. Why, Brother Mark? He's brought me to some places I've never been. My brother, He has been with me in the fire. He's there. So what the first love is, if there's ever been a time that Jesus Christ is closer to you than He is right now, you need to get back to it. He'll strengthen you. Thank God. These four stages of being in the furnace, we gain from fire. When the heat is on, He eliminates the eliminating process. We're stripped. The hydration process, we're shrinked. Oxidation process, we're stripped, stirred. In the vitrification process, we are strengthened. All of this was done so the Creator, the Potter, would shine. It's the brightest glow that it's ever been in the hottest heat. What does He do it? Every potter shows off his vessels. He'll strip you so He can shrink you. He'll stir you up so He can strengthen you. He'll shine through. Let me remind you of this, and then I'll give you four suggestions and I'm done. You remember the three Hebrew boys? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, I'll leave it where it's at. Abednego. They heated that furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. In other words, it was so hot that it killed the ones that threw them in. Nob looked in and he says, my God, didn't we throw three in? There's a fourth man. Oh yeah. You got it right, Nob. You know what he said? He said, I see them walking, loosed. You know where they got loose? They were bound down to the things of this world. It was in the fire that God removed the things that bound the three Hebrew boys. And it'll be in the fire when He removes the things out of your life so you won't be bound down to this world. I don't like the fire. I don't like trials. I would to God I never had another one. Just being honest, I'm not spiritual. I don't know of anybody that'll come through those doors that's got their right mind, that ain't lying. They'll come through those doors and swing. Glory to God, I'm in another trial. Hallelujah. But He's a peeping at me. No, you come through that and said, oh God, Lord, I hope I can make it through this day. Again, it'll be in the fire that He rips, or He burns, or He strips, or He takes off of you that where binds you down to keep you from worshiping. The bottom line, no matter where you're from, who you are, where you're going, is that you worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, I love shouting. I'll shout with the best of them. My heart has been touched and thrilled this day at the way God has breathed on these services. And I praise God for what He's done. But some of the sweetest services you will ever be in your life is when that still, small voice speaking to your heart and you are 40 miles above a shout. And I'm not degrading shout. Be still and know that I am God. But then, for those super spiritual that said you ought not shout, the other side of that is lift holy hands towards heaven and shout. Boy, some of the brethren would really get upset about this. Oh, clap your hands. Now, I don't think it should be an entertaining exercise. And I don't think it should be a worldly concept. But glory be unto God. I love when Brother David got up tonight and he was doing the holy dance. Give you this, number three. We've looked at four secrets going into our trial. Don't ever forget Him. He's planned it. He places the vessel in the keel, not pitches it. He puts other vessels in there with it. And He's peeping. There's four stages. Stripping, shrinking, stirring, and strengthening. Now I'll give you four suggestions. And I'm through. The getting through or out of our trials. Thank God there are some times that we come out. I've got a preacher friend of mine. He's preaching tonight at my church. You can ask him, no matter how deep of the valley he's in, no matter what he's going through, you can ask him, said, Brother Roger, how you doing? He said, well, the best you ever saw. He says, now, do you want the truth? But there are times when we are doing the best you ever saw. There are times that we can shout it out. I hope you leave this place tonight rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I say rejoicing. I'm not trying to paint a doom picture. I'm not trying to say that we're always in the valley. I'm not trying to say that we're always in the trials. But I got sense enough to know, as a pastor and as a man of God and as a child of God, that you are facing hell by the acre. I suggest to you, we come out of my trials, we want to be right. We want to be real. There's a kind of vessel that the keel, that's in the keel, that has to be repaired. That's what our text is telling us, the nation of Israel. Make it again. See, it has to be repaired because it cracked. Because of the weakness in the clay. Not in the potter, but in the clay. It cracked. Many of us have cracked in the furnace. You know what he'll do? He'll put more clay in that crack. He doesn't throw it away. Oh, that's the thing I could honestly say tonight. I'm looking at a bunch of crackheads. But when we crack, he puts more clay in that crack. And you guessed it. When he puts more clay in that crack, he uses someone else, something else, to help me. And you guessed it, those four stages again. Not only do some need to be repaired, but some vessels have to be, I hate to even say this, but it's true, refused. They've not just cracked, they've crumbled. Can't be used anymore. Still clay. Still went in the fire. But it can't be used anymore. They didn't just crack, they crumbled. Couldn't handle the pressure. Although he knew the heat, he knew the furnace. It wasn't the furnace's fault. It wasn't the heat's fault. It was the clay's fault. It's four things I fear. This crumbled clay was put in the potter's field. You remember Judas went and he got a piece, put this 30 pieces of silver in the potter's field. That's what that was. It was crumbled clay. Unusable clay. Identified with deceit. It's another message in itself. I'll not go there, but you study that now. I'm afraid of sin. Don't you ever, you listen to this preacher, don't you ever get to the place that you are not afraid of sin. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I am afraid of the judgment seat. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade me. If he feared the judgment seat, let me just remind you of something. I know your preacher's taught you this and you know this and not, but let me just remind you of something. Everything since the day that God saved you, you're going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Guess what's there to see if it's good or bad? Fire. I don't want my brother to stand at that judgment seat or lay down at that judgment seat or bow down at that judgment seat, however we will be. I do not want to be there and see everything I've worked for Christ Jesus my Lord go up in wood, hay, and stubble. He feared self. I fear self. I'm my worst enemy. You are your worst enemy. And dear God, Brother Ken, if the Apostle Paul feared this, how much more should we, being set on the shelf? Yes, sir. Preacher, you mean to tell me that there are some people set on the shelf? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody here tonight is. You're here. If you got a desire to serve God, and I don't know your heart, but I do tell you this tonight, He'll use you. The best ability is availability. I can't. That's not in God's vocabulary. The only thing God can't do, and He chooses not to do it, is send a saved person to hell, and can't lie. Can't shouldn't be in your vocabulary. Matter of fact, quite to the contrary, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thirdly, some vessels come out ready to be released. That's my goal. Been through the fire. Praise God, my God delivers again. And then fourthly, thank God. One day there'll be no more fire. We'll come out not to be repaired, not to be refused, not to be released, but to be rewarded, showing off His glory. Going in, four secrets. In, four stages. Coming out, four suggestions. Where are you at tonight? You love Him?